and now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Had a good Saturday morning to one and all. Welcome to Sports Talk. I'm Greg Ray, joined by Tim Miller. And just before we go any further, let you know, Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. And this Saturday morning, we're going to dedicate the whole show to Kent Weiser, the retiring athletic director at Emporia State University, wrapping up 23 years as the athletic director at Emporia State University. You know, I've stopped by your office, and have you got it cleaned out yet?
For the most part, yes. It's they're still, you're trying to decide what should I leave, and what, you know, there's information, there's folders on when we replace the field, when we replace Jones Field, and those kind of things that you think might be helpful for the next person, and so but for the most part, yeah, it's cleaned out.
Now, it had to be kind of bittersweet for you, going, bringing back some probably some very pleasant memories. There were probably a few unpleasant memories that were rehashed a little bit during that. But going through all that, and you go, how did I accumulate all this stuff?
Yeah, I had laughed and told people there ought to be a rule that says you have to clean out your office every 3 years or 4 years, because you put something away and think, okay, I might need that. And then, you know, there's some old saying, or if you don't touch it for a year, you don't need it. And that's probably more true than not. So I've found some things from way back, and you're right, it's been up and down. It's been happy and sad at the same time.
You know, my experience has been, okay, I don't need this, and then about 2 months later, oh, I could have used that.
That's right. Somebody says, where is that? What did we do on that? And you're thinking, okay, wait a minute, I got it in my head. Where do I have it down in writing? So, yep.
Well, they always talk about how the years go by quicker than you think. I'm sure that's the case for you. I mean, 23 years, it sounds like a long time, but I'm sure in your mind now, it's like, man, this went pretty fast.
In that, yes, very much so. Very much so. It just, it's amazing. You always have the project ahead of you, and you don't spend a lot of time reliving things or you know, even when you win, even when you have, you know, great moments, you kind of quickly move on to what's coming up, and so you do that, and it just keeps going, and then your kids are probably the thing that gives you a little bit of a barometer, and it's like, wow, wait a minute, they're graduating high school, or they're going, they're moving on, and so the jobs, the career has been just one thing after another, and that's the way you want it. That's the way it should be.
So 23 years at Emporia State, but how long in athletics total?
About 40. I started right out of college in 81 is when I graduated from KU, and then got the opportunity to be the assistant golf coach. And then took that, and then became head golf coach, and then ticket manager, and then marketing director, and during the 1980s. So took a brief time out in the late 80s. Went back and got a master's degree. I'd gotten out of athletics for a short time, and went back and got a master's degree in sports administration, and then hooked back up with Oregon State in 93. So it's been around 40.
So you started out at the Division I level. You end up at the Division II level. I'm sure you've been asked this. Did you have aspirations of maybe going back to Division I and maybe as an athletic director?
Yes, I certainly did. You know, when I was at Oregon State, I was interviewed for a couple of Division I jobs, smaller Division I jobs, you know, at I think it was Indiana State and Arkansas Little Rock and did that and of course didn't get them you know, you had time to reflect a little bit and think, what do you want to, you know, what do you want to do? You know, Division I is great. The experience is just like no other. On when you're down on, you know, on the sideline at a football game and there's 70,000 people there, that is, you know, that is a huge rush. I mean, that is something that is, you know, really exciting and fun, but you do that for a little while, and then you kind of think there might be a little something missing here. I always say I didn't know the student athletes at Oregon State. At KU, I did a little bit better because I was younger, because I was closer to them, and I you know, were student athlete, was a student athlete with them, and so grew up with them a little bit, but. But at Oregon State, you just because of the nature of the business, you didn't. In my role in external stuff, in corporate sales and external development things, you didn't see them very much, and so that was kind of a missing piece. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to see what you know, what other opportunities there are at more regional schools and you know, mid-level schools, and so the Emporia position came open and it worked out, and I've never regretted it.
You know, looking at Emporia State, the adage is when you go to some place, you want to leave it better than the way you found it, and I'll say this, I feel like you're leaving Emporia State in a better position than when you came into Emporia State. Of course, you came in Emporia State when they were just really getting their feet wet at the NCAA Division II level. They made the transition in the early 90s, so they were still kind of, Emporia State was still kind of new to the NCAA and the Division II level, but things were starting to come together, and you know, as I look back at the last 23 years, a lot of good things have happened at Emporia State.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Greg. I hope so. You know, I'd like to think that. I think that's somewhat that's subjective, and other people can decide on that and weigh in. But it does look much different now than what it did. We were, you know, our coaches were still coaching and teaching. And they were on 10-month contracts, and they, you know, you'd have a baseball coach that was also the kinesiology teacher, and so that was a little different. Something I felt strong that we needed to move away from that. You know, our administrative structure. You know, Carmen Nealon at the time leads now. Carmen was our first dedicated full-time senior woman administrator. And associate athletics director, and so all of those things. I think the assistant basketball coach was also the compliance director, and so you had some things that needed to change. You know, to just you know, I don't know, to get things more realistic, and to align the expectations with what we needed to, you know, with what we needed to do. So it's changed a lot.
Let's go back to that first time that you stepped on the Emporia State campus. What was your impression of Emporia State?
Very impressed. I don't know what I was thinking. And then when you're at, and you know, the two schools I was at were in Power Five conferences. And so, you know, when I didn't, and you didn't have the internet as much as you do now, and so you couldn't really do the virtual tours and things like that. And I don't know if I was just expecting wooden bleachers and you know what, and then came in and saw this beautiful Welt Stadium that had just gotten, you know, the press box and stuff had just been built, and I was just thoroughly impressed. And it's like, okay, wait a minute, we want to play. You know, we're going to play. Let's play hard. Let's play for real. And so you know, seeing White Auditorium I was just pleasantly surprised, and it really opened my eyes that this is very competitive. This isn't, we're just not playing intramurals. You know, we're going to keep score, and so that was exciting. I was really pleased, and the people, Kay Schellenkamp, as president at the time, I was just really impressed with her and what her thoughts were, where she wanted things to go, and it just seemed like a great fit.
Well, and of course, you know, getting back, you mentioned the fact how great it was when you first got here. Now you think about all the improvements that have been made over the years with facilities, Welch Stadium with the makeover, the track. Of course, now I've got a great tennis facility. So you've been able to have a hand in some of that stuff. So that's the way I think a lot of athletic directors leave their mark.
Yeah, that's what you hope for, Tim. Yeah, that, you know, the Hanna Clubhouse out at Trussler Sports Complex and new turfs and things. That's what you hope for. I've never been a real bells and whistles guy, but you do have to have things that you're proud of, and you have to have facilities that you're proud of. You're proud to put your team out there, and so we've had a chance through, you know, some very generous people and local foundations and things to make that difference, and you know, so the community can be proud of it too. One of the things I liked about Emporia, and I still do, is that, you know, we share things. You know, we don't have Emporia State doesn't have a basketball or volleyball arena, so we use the city's, and so let's make that one, rather than have a little field house on the campus. Let's use the best one we have in town, and let's all work to make that, the best it can be. And Welch Stadium is the same way. I mean, that's a magnificent football venue, track. People love coming here. And so let's make that, and let's share it with Emporia High School and other area high schools and things. So I think that's the thing that I really liked about Emporia, is that you could pool things and you share them. And sometimes that's an inconvenience, but you know what? The inconvenience is small compared to the benefit.
You know, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that, because last week we had Curtis Simons on, who is retiring as the athletic director at Emporia High, and he kind of said the same thing, that he really appreciated the way you and the university worked with the high school and sharing facilities, because Emporia's, you know, a nice-sized community, but sometimes it's not big enough to support a high school football stadium when you have a really nice one that the university is really willing to share with you. And, you know, I understand the desire to have your own, you know, your own football facility, your own basketball facility, your own volleyball facility. But sometimes you have to step back and say, okay, is it cost prohibitive? Can we afford to do that right now? And if not, what's available? And is what's available, can it be improved or made to be one of the best there is? And you mentioned White Auditorium, and there are a lot of people who love going to White Auditorium to watch a basketball game or a volleyball game, because it's a unique setting. To me, for those who have been to Municipal Auditorium in Kansas City, it's a mini Municipal Auditorium.
Yes, it sure is. And, you know, it said the inconvenience. You athletic facilities are very rarely used 365 days a year by one entity, and so, you know, there's things. You know, we know that the last 2 weeks in January, there's going to be high school tournaments, and if we have a home game, if the MIA schedules a home game on a Saturday in the last 2 weeks in January, we're going to have to move that to Sunday, and you know what? It's so we'll move it to Sunday. I mean, that's a small price to pay. The practice, you know, as you practice stuff, you know, we've got a nice, we refurbished Gym C down in the Hyper Building. So we've got a nice place to. We just did Gym E, which is the volleyball gym, and so you know, you make do, and the inconvenience is small compared to the benefit.
I mean, do you ever see that changing? I mean, do you ever see a facility on campus? I know it's been forever. They played a Watt Auditorium, and they probably more likely will for forever. But you just wonder, will that time ever come?
Oh, boy. You know, I don't – it's you never say never. Yeah. But, you know, I think what we have is really special. I think we'd have to really – there'd have to be some really extenuating circumstances for us to look at that. And like Greg said, you'd have to, you know, would it make sense for the community and for, you know, the indoor practice facilities are the next thing. You know, I'm not sure that we're really looking at an indoor practice facility, because, you know, the ones that have those, like, you know, at Pittsburgh, that's a community partnership with the county and with the city, and they have boat shows and RV shows and all that kind of, and who's taking care of it? You know, when you put another building up, who's going to take care of that all the time? So you know, I don't see it, but yet that's why I'm turning it over to somebody else. Let some futuristic
let someone else worry about it.
Right? And they'll get, you know, somebody will come in with a great idea, and it'll be possible, and that'll be fantastic. So
we're visiting with Emporia State Athletic Director Kent Weiser, who's down to what? 3 days left? 4 days left?
Six, actually.
Six days left?
Who's counting?
Who's counting?
Yeah. July 1st, yeah.
July 1st.
July 1st is my last official day.
His last official day is he'll be going off into the sunset and doing other things, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But we need to get a break in. We'll take our first break. We'll be back with more with Kent Weiser right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, along with Tim Miller, who visit with Emporia State Athletic Director Kent Weiser, who's wrapping up his 23-year career. July the 1st will be his official day of going into retirement. And in talking with Phil Taunton yesterday, you've hooked up with Phil. He's gonna get you on some fishing excursions, it sounds like.
I did. Couple of weekends or whatever, I've driven over to Council Grove, and I've met Phil a couple times and listened to his show when I can, and thought, you know, okay, it's time to I'm gonna have time. I don't have the thing where you say, oh, I wish I could, but I don't have time. And so now I will. And so I said, okay, what's the, you know, how do I get restarted on this? I used to do a lot of that growing up in Great Bend and you know, when I was in my 20s, but kids and jobs kind of get in the way there sometimes with that stuff. So
more time on the golf course too?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Probably go out and hit it a few more times. So rather than just try and prepare for the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the facilities and things you've overseen over the years. You've also seen changes in the conference on more than one occasion. That had to be some fun navigation.
It was, yeah. That, Tim, that was, boy, that was a roller coaster ride there for a while. And it's, and you know, we were at 10 for a long time. And then, you know, 10 was an okay number because you could play everybody twice in sports other than football, and you rotated two off or 2 weeks, I should say, you had for non-conference games. And then when we went to 12, it was like, okay, we can still do double round robin in basketball and most other things. And then football, you're just playing a closed conference schedule. And then when you get up above that number, the numbers don't work as well with 14 and even 16. Now you're going into divisions, and you know, we saw the Lone Star Conference was at 16 and they had divisions and it was, you know, we have two conferences basically in it. And so when all of the Division I shakeup was going on, and of course that was all about TV market, and you know, some of our presidents at the time thought, okay, bigger is better, and so we shot up for about 2 weeks to 16, and then when Truman and SBU and Nebraska Omaha left, and so we're sitting at a 14 number, which is in 12 football schools, which is fine. You know, it really is. That's something we don't want to. Newman and Rogers have been great addition, but yeah, there for a while. You know, trying to, one of the years we went to the playoffs, we only played 10 games because Truman had told us right before that they were leaving the conference. And so we only got to play 10 games that year. Thankfully, we made the playoffs and went and played, you know, some postseason games. So
do you feel like that the conference is pretty well set? I mean, of course, there's always, you know, you can't forecast those kind of things.
Right. It seems to be, yes. You know, Lindenwood was in for a little bit and then out, and so it seems like everybody is pretty happy with stuff and pretty stable right now. And Emporia is fortunate that we're somewhat in the geographic center of things. But you hear that the state of Oklahoma is talking about an Oklahoma conference. You know, why do they have some in the Great American and some in the MIAA? And so you never know what's gonna change. It's more, you know, founded or based on geographic and travel, you know, locations. Division I goes to you know, TV markets and, you know, for football and probably, you know, women's and men's basketball, that would make sense. But boy, taking your baseball team to West Virginia to play a three-game series or something—that just
yeah,
that's kind of hard, you know. Yeah. And so I think Division II will always be, you know, a little more grounded in and centered in that what we want to have good competition and have a level field, but there's got to be some. There's got to be some financial wisdom that goes in that.
Looking back at the last 23 years, what would you say would maybe be the biggest challenge that you have faced with Emporia State?
You know, it's. I think it's. It's more to do with not just Emporia State, but I think the changing of cell phones and social media and parental involvement has been really something I was very ill prepared for. When you know, a parent first called me up and said their child wasn't happy with this or that, and I thought, the first thing I thought was, well, why am I talking to you? Where's the kid? Send them in. They're adults. Yeah. And so that's made it, that has changed a lot. And athletics also brings the challenge of trying to be all things to all people. You have different constituents that want different things, and their focus is on different things, and the student athletes and their experience wise, and they want to win, but they want to have a good experience. The faculty, most of them really don't care if they win a game. I want those kids in class, and I want them to do well. And you know, fans, they on the opposite side, they want to win, and
they don't care whether you go to class or not.
Pretty much.
Just win, baby.
I hate to say that, you know, but that is a little. There's some like that. We know that, you know, because you're dealing too with emotion. You're dealing with someone's school and someone's identity, and I think that's the great thing about college athletics, is that it does that. You know, it brings people together that have that common. You know, we went to that same school. We didn't know each other. And we never played that sport, but yet that team did well, and that's my team. And, you know, that's great, but you deal with people's emotions, and so that's made it that will always be a challenge. That's not unique to Emporia State, but that's just kind of college athletics.
And I think that's one of the unique things about Division II and Emporia State, with Emporia State being – a teacher's college, and at one time NAI, where the focus was, hey, let's make sure we're getting everything done in the classroom the right way, and if you make it to the postseason, great, but you know, it when you were in NAI, it cost you more money to compete in the postseason, and whereas at the Division II level, the NCAA helps cover some of the cost of that, which makes it maybe a little more of a goal that you attain, because first off, I'll say this. I've never visited with an Emporia State coach that didn't have the aspirations or the goal of making sure that that team made it to the NCAA or played for a national championship or got into postseason play. That was their ultimate goal, is to get into postseason play. But the thing that I've really thought has been a really big part of the success of Emporia State athletics has also been the success of the student athlete in the classroom. Yesterday, the MIAA released the list of freshmen and transfers who made their academic honor roll. There were 70 Emporia State freshmen / transfers that made that academic honor roll. Two of them had 4.0 GPAs, and for being your first time at Emporia State, getting a 4.0 GPA is quite impressive. And then a freshman catcher is a scholar athlete who was named Freshman of the Year in the MIAA, but also had a 3.69 GPA. I don't remember what my GPA was my first year in college, but I don't think it was quite that.
You're right, nor mine. And you know, that's one of the great things about Division II, that Division I should take a lesson from us in the fact that when I meet with recruits and I meet with parents, and a lot of the coaches will bring in, you know, when they have someone on campus, and I'll get a chance to talk to them, and I'm not afraid to say, you know, someday your athletic career is going to be over. It doesn't matter when that – every kid comes in, they're 18 years old, they're going to make a living playing their sport. And I still can't believe I didn't make the PGA Tour. I mean, that's my thing. I know what it's like, but – you know, you have to say that, and you have to understand that. And so we want you to bring out – we're going to bring out all the talent. You're going to reach all the potential you have in your sport. However, I mean, you can go spend 10 years playing professionally. You're still going to have a lot of life ahead of you, and you better be ready for it. And you better – so having a balance is – Division II is much more grounded and much more centered, and – and maybe they do. We did that a little bit at Oregon State, and you know, that we'd say, you guys, we're just preparing for a long time. Your future's not 4 years from now. Your future's 20 years from now. And And so I think that we have that up front, and therefore we get students that have a passion to play, but then also know that that's only a part of their lives. That's not the end of it. So that makes it more fun to. Yep.
We do have a caller online. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
Good morning. This is Carmen Leeds.
Hey, Carmen. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I just wanted to call in, and there's one area that I haven't heard y'all talk about, is just the awareness that Kent has with people and hiring the right people. I mean, there have been so many administrators and coaches who've come through this program since Kent has been here, and very rarely has there been a swing and a miss on who he's hired. He's brought in exceptional coaches who buy into the program and the system that we had in Emporia State, and just really cared about the students and wanted the best for them. Because so many times at Division II, you have coaches who come in who have these dreams of, oh, this is my stepping stone, and I'm going to Division I, and Kent tried to instill in them that, you know, this is where we're at, and we're going to be successful here, and they bought into that, and they did an awesome job. And I think that goes back to Kent knowing people and knowing the right people that worked here at Emporia State.
Well, thank you, Carmen. Thank you very much. Carmen is certainly one of those that we recruited here. I look at hiring and as kind of recruiting. I want everybody that comes here, if you make it to the round to get to a visit, I want you to come. I want you to want to come here and be a part of that. And you know, I've tried to help people reach their personal goals, whatever those might be. And knowing though, and explaining that, you know, you're not going to be able to reach up if you want to coach. We've had several. We have several now. You know, Christy Breadbender's at Wichita State. And you know, we got a couple of women's basketball coaches that are Division I, but you know, they have to know they're not going to work unless they do a good job for us and do a good job here. So I also think, Carmen, there's the old saying, I'd rather be lucky than good. And you know what, some of it is you got to have the right person in the pool. I was fortunate that then Carmen Nealon was in the pool, and somebody had told me, you know, we were looking over resumes, my small group of confidants that I have with different positions, and oh, you'll never get her, you know. And I'm like, what are you kidding me, man? I'm a recruiter. Are you kidding me? I'll recruit her. But you got to have the right people in the pool, and we've been fortunate that. You know, the right person has been there, and we've been lucky to get them and be a part of it. That'll be a good part of the community and the university and the athletics department. Thank you, Carmen.
Oh, you're very welcome. You've been an unbelievable mentor for me.
Thank you.
And I'm going to get off before I cry. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Carmen. Carmen Leeds, who former senior women's administrator at Emporia State in the athletic department, now is heading up the union
right.
at Emporia
Director
State.
Of the Memorial Union.
So, right. and you know, and going along that line, you know, you've hired some really outstanding coaches, but you've also been able to promote from within, mm-hmm. from within the programs. I know Brandon Schneider was already the head women's basketball coach when you got here,
right.
and he was hired from within. And then when he left, to go to the Division I level after winning a national championship for you. He had an assistant that was ready to move in. Mm-hmm. You go over to track and field. Dave Harris had a really successful run. He was a track coach when you got here, and when he decided it was time for him to try something new, a new challenge, Division I, going back to Nebraska, where he was at before he came to Emporia State, he had an assistant that was ready to move into those positions. Bob Fornelli, baseball coach, leaves. He has an assistant that's able to move into mm-hmm. those positions. And that has to be something, one, credit to those head coaches for mentoring people who can move into those positions, but credit to you for giving them a chance, too.
Well, and you want those, all of those that you mentioned, and those are all great. Yeah, yeah. Steve Blocker, what more would you want from a track and field coach than Steve Blocker and Jory Collins and Seth Wheeler? You know, they. I think though what we talk about when I visit with them, when I visited with them beforehand, is you can't try to be the former coach was. You have to be yourself, and you have to take the good things that you've learned, and then your philosophy in life and in your career. I think you take all the good things that you can from other people that you see and make that your own, and then you'll end up with different pieces of the different mentors you've had, but you still have to do it and be true to yourself. And I think all those coaches have done that. You know, when in softball, when Stacy Gemeinhardt left, and I said, Stacy, who do you know? Who would you look at? And she said, well, I know a young lady out in California that, you know, Christy Breadbinner. So it's like, all right, Christy, come in. Let's talk and see what, you know, see if that works here. So it is a networking type thing, but you want people to be their own. You don't want them to come in and try to be somebody else and try to be the same. Well, this person did it this way, so I'm going to have to do it that way. Not, you know, it's kind of, but not altogether.
What about the evolution of women's athletics? The time you've been here in the last 23 mm-hmm. years, because boy, it has changed a lot.
I think it's been tremendous. You know, I think we were fortunate with Kay Schellenkamp's help to start women's soccer and to see that program develop and grow over the years. We had an alumni game this spring, and well, we actually had alumni back, and it was fun to see. And I told I met with them after the spring scrimmage, you know, those first players for us, and now they're, you know, that was 21 years ago, so they've got little ones and their own careers. And I told our team, you know, when these ladies started, we didn't have any alumni. And so to see that built and to see that kind of growth for that particular sport, but because that was our new one. But, you know, when we have, you know, women's basketball is a real big on their alumni weekend. And you see those and you see that they've gone on to, you know, coach and in high school and things. That's just such a you just didn't see that. You know, in the 90s, it was still, and it's, has it gone too slow or, yeah, it could always be better and it could always be, you know, but I think Emporia, one of the other things I was just floored with when I got here, you know, at Oregon State, we would have to have special, every kind of special promotion and just pull out all the stops to get 2,000 people to a women's basketball game at when we're playing USC. And I got here and we averaged that. And it was like, how cool. I mean, you know, so there was a great base to there, you know, from the beginning. And then for a while, there in the late, what do they call them? Aughts? Zeros?
from 2000 to 2009.
You know, it's like women's championships were the ones we were dominant in. And so, you know, I was very proud of that. So I think it's very helpful. Carmen actually was brought in an idea of brother-sister teams. And so she would pair up the baseball team with the women's basketball team and say, okay, you guys are, I think it's really better and more wholesome that student athletes know each other on different teams. And so you'd have at a women's basketball game, you know, here the baseball guys would all come in mass and you know, some of them dressed up in their, you know, baseball gear and would support that women's basketball team. And then, at a baseball game, here comes the women's basketball team. And so it's stuff like that I think I've been very proud of and it's been very fun to see, you know, with people like Carmen and Christy Beyer and now Aaron Michaelby that have helped, and all of our coaches buy into that. All of our coaches know that's kind of one of the expectations. When you get here, it's like you have this program, but you are part of a bigger team, and you support each other. And if we don't support each other, who will? So that's been fun, Tim.
We're visiting with Emporia State Athletic Director Kent Weiser here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We need to get our final break in. We'll do that, and we'll be back with more with Kent Weiser right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, visiting with Emporia State Athletic Director Kent Weiser, who will hold that title until July the 1st, right, when that changes. And I don't know if you keep in touch with the search or not, but I've been told by several sources we may be hearing something within the next week or so.
Yeah, I have been a little distant from it, and that's a little by design because I we're looking to the future, not the past, and so I'll want to be available to help that person in any way, just from a historical perspective, but yeah, I think it's been going well, and getting all of those with the president and the AD and the provost and the vice president, and there's quite a changeover going on. So,
yeah. Oh, I stopped by your office the other day just to make sure you're still coming in today, and I asked you, have you changed your mind with Ken Hush being selected as the next president at Emporia State? And the one thing that the person who's going to take over your seat, that's one thing they're going to find, is they're going to find a president that is very passionate about Emporia State University, not just the academic side, but also the athletic side, him being a former Emporia State student athlete.
Right, right. He will bring a really new, good perspective on the whole, when we talk about student experience, that's, and athletics is a part of it, theater is a part of it, music is a part of it, there's all kinds of things, but he is very engaged and understands the importance of not just the going to learning the academic side and going to class and then going home. It's going to be that experience thing that'll really be big. So,
yeah, it's hard to, I know, capsule 23 years into a short answer, but just talk about some highlights for you since you've been at Emporia State. I know some may be obvious, but
some are obvious, Tim. You know, when you win and you see the work that goes into it, and you see championships and national championships and national runner up and probably the resurgence of our football program has meant, I don't know if it meant the most to me, but that just takes a long time to do. You cannot have a quick fix in that sport. And so when that was happening and is still happening, that's a great thing to be a part of. And I really enjoy, when the coaches would ask me, and all coaches asked me to come and talk if they have several recruits, or if they have a single recruit, or and like football has like 20 guys in at the same time. And so, you know, I go over on Saturday mornings and talk with them, and you at least feel like, and the coaches let you feel like you're a part of that, like you're contributing. I hope I am. I hope I did. But those are, you know, those are the highlights that you remember. But it's just as important. You know, I've had over the years. You know, when Dante McCoy, you guys remember Dante McCoy, All-American football player for us, and he was talking about transferring when Jerry Kill left, and he came in and talked to me, and of course I didn't want him to go, but I wanted him to do what he thought was right, and he stayed. And then when he graduated, he came back in and said, "Hey, I appreciate you, you know, you being here, you talking to me, and you knowing my name." And you know, that's a great reward. You get the little rewards throughout the year that nobody sees, I think, are the things that keep you going. And, you know, this after Brent Wilson called me a couple of weeks ago or a month ago after my announcement. And you know, it's just fun to feel like you've had an impact on, you know, on people, on the program, on lives. So that's as highlight as I'm going to get.
You mentioned Dante, and if he transfers to another school, he might not have ended up playing basketball too.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep. That's exactly right. So we've had some great ones. That's for sure.
What will be the hardest adjustment heading into retirement, do you think?
Game day preparation. I think that's the thing. You know, here it's late June, July is generally the slowest time. That's when most people will, if you're going to take a vacation, take it in July. And so it's pretty quiet. But then when August 1st rolls around and teams start coming back, you know, that's been, if you ask for highlights too, that, you know, the game day preparation and game day is the, it doesn't matter what sport it is. You get to the arena, you get to the field, and man, there's just a rush that comes over you, and so that'll be difficult to everybody else will be running around or doing it. I'm going to be wondering what am I supposed to be doing here? Getting the ticket line, I guess. I don't know what
You get to hang out in the parking lot with the tailgaters.
I could, yeah, that's right. I could do that a little bit more now. So, but it'll be that's what I'll probably miss the most. And you know what, Tim, the structure of things, you're always. You know, you're always looking. What's next? What do I have to do this week? Where do we play? Do we have? You know, we're either home or on the road from September 1st, pretty much every week through the end of May.
Right.
And so somebody's playing someplace, and you know, so that'll be that'll be an adjustment for me. That's for sure.
Did you at least negotiate like lifetime season ticket? Is that part of the retirement process? Or
I don't know. I think there's some kind of deal in there. Well, but I
you would think. Yeah, I'm just
not
saying.
Really sure. I would, but I'll be there either way. You know, I'll be there as much as I as many times as I can, and you know, maybe not down on the sideline talking to the white hat or talking to the officials at basketball at the scorer's table, but I'll be around there.
Well, Kent, thanks for coming in and rehashing a little bit of 23 years. I know we mentioned during the last break we could probably go for another hour and talk about things that have happened over 23 years at Emporia State University. First off, thank you for your support of me and of this radio station, of allowing us to be a part of Emporia State Athletics and covering them on a daily and weekly and game-by-game basis. I do appreciate that support, and we realize that it is Emporia State that we were representing, and hopefully we've done a good job in doing that. But thank you for that support and for everything that you've done for Emporia State, not just athletically, but with other things at Emporia State as well, because, you know, your job says athletic director, but I know it entails a lot more than just athletics. And thank you, and congratulations on a job well done.
Greg, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Greg Ray has been there the whole time too, and you've had to cover. You've gotten to share the high moments with us, but you've also been there and had to report on some of the less pleasant things, and you've done that all with professionalism and fairness that's appreciated. I'll tell you that I remember that we went to the Mineral Water Bowl, and then we had basketball that evening, and Greg's over there in Excelsior Springs in the morning and does our football game and packs everything up, and we drive back here, and there he is behind the mic at White Auditorium doing a basketball game that evening. So that's been great. I've appreciated you and your coverage and your professionalism too, Greg. So thank you.
Enjoy retirement.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah. You bet. I will. Thank you.
I've heard from other people that it's fun.
That's what I heard. Yeah. We'll see. I hope so.
But I've also heard from other people that sometimes when you retire, you become more busy because you're able to do a lot of the things that you weren't able to do.
That's right.
Yeah. When you were actually working.
That's right.
Yep. Getting paid to do stuff.
I look forward to that. Yep. Very good. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is Kent Weiser, athletic director, or soon to be retired athletic director at Emporia State University. Again, thanks for coming in. That's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. For Tim Miller, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongpineAuto.com.
AM 1400 KVOE Emporia.